For some reason, I'm so happy this evening. Maybe, you know, it's end of the week, and also it is touch from the Lord, singing those songs, praying with friends. Amazing. And we had a great leaders meeting. My spirit is just bubbling. And also the truth, Word of God is wonderful. These days, my interest has been in the area of what is sin for us? Is it a bunch of do's and don'ts? We say, don't do this. Don't do this. We're Christians, we have reduced our relationship with God to a bunch of activities, actions. Last week, we started a series. Although we can continue this series for a few more weeks, but we will end it today so that we can celebrate Thanksgiving without having a series hanging on our head. The series is called Living in Christian Freedom. And I'm going to talk about two essential means to live in Christian freedom. The passage is Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. So verse 8, it starts from verse 7, but I'll read it. For all of us, I'm going to read from NIV. We should all know whenever we have the translation, we lose some of the deep meaning in the translation. Sometimes we get the paraphrase in the translation. Verse 7, the last part says, the man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. Last week, we discussed from Galatians chapter 5, 13 until the end of the chapter. And this is what we learned, that God has liberated us from legalism and libertinism, or legalism and licentiousness. One side, God has liberated us from a bunch of laws. You don't do this, you do this. You don't do this, you do this. Literally, we become prisoners inside a bunch of do's and don'ts. God has liberated us. Jesus has, his death on the cross has liberated us from this legalism. On the other hand, those of us who were not born as Jews, but born and grew up in an idol-worshipping background, by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been liberated from all the fears of following after idols, observing a lot of superstitions. And now we are free. The picture is this. We are liberated from a jail. You are coming out. And as you come out, we have two things, two options. One, to go back and be involved in the things we involved in, or go back to the family and build our family. In the same way, when God has liberated us through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have two options before us. Those two options are to love God and to love one another, or to go back and love this world. Let me repeat it again. God has given us freedom to love Him or love this world. We are free. Gospel message is so wonderful. It's very simple as well. God wants to have a relationship with us. That is why He sent His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to this world. And He took all the punishment we needed to take. And He died on the cross. As a result of that, all our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. And we are liberated. And God is giving us an option to make continue a relationship with Him. That is the gospel. God calling us to to have a continual relationship with Him, not based on our rituals, not based on our offerings, but based on us, based on what He's offering. So now we have two things before us. One, to love God. Another one, to love this world. We have to choose. It's wonderful. The passage that we read, it says, in order to live and grow in Christian freedom, one must stop feeding his flesh and begin yielding to the Holy Spirit. You know, now we are free. In a sense, we are free completely. We are not bound by any Levitical law. We are not bound by any laws in the Old Testament that you have to, you know, you cannot eat pork, or you cannot work on Saturday. You have to pay 10%. We are not bound by any of them. We are completely free. But we have a freedom now to look back and see, wow, Old Testament has a good moral standard. We can follow that. But no one is saying you have to do this in order to maintain a relationship with God. He's not saying you have to pay 10% in order to have a relationship with me. No, we are not bound by that law. You cannot eat pork. If you eat, then, you know, if you ate, then you are defiled. No, we are freed. But now we can look back at the Old Testament and say, ha, there are a lot of good moral standards. We are free to follow them. But we cannot just stay there. That is the difference between, the Old Testament. And now, I'm going to highlight in detail today. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, this is what Moses says. You cannot commit adultery. But I say unto you, even if you look at a person with a lustful eye, you have already committed adultery. Jesus starts with Moses' standard, but what you and me are called is higher standard. Not a legalistic standard, but a much higher standard, a standard that is worthy of our relationship with God. Okay, that is why last week we concluded, although we don't have any law or anything that is binding us, but every time we ask a question, is it worthy for me to do? Is it worthy of my relationship with God? Say, for example, my money. If I had $100, all $100 belong to me. If I want to give to the Lord, I ask the question, if I gave this much money, is worthy of my relationship with my God? If you feel not giving is worthy of your relationship with God, it's fine. If you say, I'm going to give all $100, it is worthy of my relationship with God, it is fine too. Your relationship with God is not dependent on how much you give, what kind of life you live, you know, and what you give to the Lord, what kind of superstitions you believe. It is not dependent on that. As we are free, now we have two options. That is what I would like to do. We are free as Christians. Now, we have, in our freedom, we can feed our flesh, the fallen nature, or we can yield to the Holy Spirit that will help us, facilitate us to enjoy our relationship with God. Paul says the latter is better. If you feed your flesh, that is leading you to somewhere else. But if you yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in you and His guidance, that is going to lead you somewhere else. We will look at this one. You may ask the question, how does one normally feed the flesh? You know, that is a question we always ask. That is what Paul says. Whatever one sows, he reaps. If you sow a bean seed, you get bean harvest. If you sow a weed, you get weed out of it. What you sow, you reap. If you are going to feed your flesh, your natural man, then you are going to harvest out of what you sow. So you may ask, how does one normally feed his flesh? By pursuing deliberately the deeds of the flesh. You know, you may see what are the deeds of the flesh. There are tons you can list. But this is what Paul lists here in Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. Sometimes we may say, oh, I'm a Christian. A lot of Christians don't do it. But a lot of Christians do it. They feed the flesh. Just because we are saved doesn't mean we don't feed our flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred. Hatred is there. It is part of our flesh. You know, I'm guilty of it. Sometime, I tend to hate people. Everyone. Actually, what I'm doing is I'm feeding my flesh. Anger, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. You know, I'm guilty of that too. Fits of rage. When it comes to relating to wife and children, sometimes, you know, show fits of rage. It is feeding the flesh. What happens? I will reap from the flesh. If I am angry and I shout at my children, they just bounce back. And I repeat and it goes on, spiral down. Actually, we are feeding our flesh there. And he lists 15 things. And Ephesians chapter 4, there are several things. You know, when you ask, how do I feed my flesh? Doing things deliberately. You know, this is what I understand. Pursuing an action, speech, thought, with a full knowledge that it belongs to the realm of flesh, grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing is to be angry. Another thing, being angry, fully knowing that it doesn't please the Lord. If I am doing immoral activities, fully knowing that this doesn't please God, it is grieving the Holy Spirit. It amounts to sin. So, my point is this. Sin is not just an action for a Christian. Sin is an attitude. Someone asked, what is sin? I struggled for some time to give a Christian answer. Now I can clearly give an answer is this. Sin is not just an act. If it is an act, I may refrain from sexual immorality. But if I still have sexually immoral thoughts in my mind, then I'm still committing sin. For a Christian, it is not just an action, but it is an attitude that is important. That amounts to sin. If you do certain thing, fully knowing it is grieving the Holy Spirit, then you're committing sin. You know, several years back, a famous man of God was caught in adultery. Probably for those who caught him, that particular incident was interpreted as adultery. That one act. But he was acting for 7 years. Human standard, when you catch a person red-handed, that is sin. That's what people think. Oh, that is a sin. But he was grieving the Holy Spirit. He was involved in this act for 7 years, fully knowing that it was not correct. Even though Holy Spirit was prompting him, giving conviction, hey, what you are doing is not pleasing God. It is not worthy of your relationship with God. Still, he was continuing to do. That amounts to sin. If I don't love a person, fully knowing that it is not pleasing God. Suddenly, if I see a person, I get angry with him. Probably, you know, we should not put too much on ourselves. But if I know that I need to love Sam, but I continue to hate him, fully knowing it is not worthy of my relationship with God, it is grieving the Holy Spirit, then I am actually sinning. See here? The standard between Old Testament and New Testament is higher. There it is only the act. Here it is the attitude. That is why we are called for a greater living, a greater relationship with God. Our relationship in our moral is not based on just act, but it is on attitude. God looks our act. You know, sometime a person may do things in dark, closing the door and do things, thinking that he is not, you know, when he comes out, he is not a sinner. But he is doing it before God, fully knowing he is not pleasing him. I think that is grieving the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 19, I think 29, Paul talks about it. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You may ask, okay, what happens when I continue to feed my flesh? I can continue to feed my flesh. If I keep on thinking about lustful thoughts in my mind, you know, when a person has a lust, it shows that it is he is healthy or she is healthy. But if it is an unhealthy lust or unhealthy desire that is carried on for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, fully knowing that it is not worthy of his relationship with God. And also, you know, fully knowing it is not in any way pleasing the Holy Spirit, it is grieving the Holy Spirit. That is, he is actually sinning, and you may ask, where does that lead to? According to Galatians chapter 6 verse 8, it leads to destruction. You know, when you sow to your flesh, when you continue to keep your rage in you, you know, I sometimes have this rage. You know, I need to admit that. But I have a friend I can talk to. Believe it or not, last 6-7 months, the intensity of my rage is reduced. You know, my desire is not to feed to my flesh. My desire is not to feed my flesh. If I continue to feed my flesh, what happens is it's a destruction to myself. I destroy my relationship with my wife. I destroy my relationship with my children. And I destroy my relationship with my good friends. Not only now, you know, it is going to continue. So when you feed to your flesh, you are actually leading yourself to destruction. And one more thing. If you continue to feed your flesh, and if God knows, you know, if God sees you not pleasing him, and if it is not worthy of his name in this world, some way he will bring a kind of judgment. And one of these days we will talk about that. What kind of judgment? And sometime he may even remove a believer from this world just like that, because he is, bringing dishonor to God and dishonor to the relationship he has established with him. Anyway, you can continue that discussion. Where does feeding your flesh lead to? It leads to grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, we know when a person enters into a relationship with God, Holy Spirit begins dwelling in him. Paul says in several places, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and Ephesians 1:14 and several places, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He starts dwelling in us. When he is dwelling in us, if we continue to feed our flesh, he continues to be grieved. We are grieving him, dishonoring him, making him sad. You know, we have to be natural. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we look at things. We do certain things which are not good, but continue to doing it grieves the Holy Spirit. It's almost like you are sitting at home, and you tell your children, "Please don't do it." They continue to do it, continue to disrespect it. And whatever you are planning to do for them, whatever you are investing in them, they are just dishonoring. And you have a dream for them, for that you are working on them. If they are not doing it, You are being grieved by their actions, their attitude. But we must be careful that we are not doing against a human being, but we are doing against God Himself, who is dwelling in us. He is enabling our relationship with God. And it affects continual feeding of our flesh, affects our community. When we come together for a small group or a corporate worship like this, it affects the community because we are not able to worship the Lord in unity. One person is there weighed by a guilt, or one person is not having a proper communion with God because of the continual feeding of the flesh. It affects corporate worship. Before I transition to the next one, let me tell you again. You know, when we talk about sin, we are not talking about actions that are listed in the Old Testament. We are not talking about sin in that terms. Anything that we do deliberately, fully knowing that those things are in the realm of our flesh, they amount to sin. It can be our inaction, our inability to restore a brother, our inability to restore a sister, our inability to go out and do certain things, fully knowing that it is not pleasing to God, then that is sin. It is not certain things that are listed that are sin, but our conscience, which is activated by the Holy Spirit, brings a conviction of sin. If I don't love a person, or say for example, if I don't love my spouse the way I need to love, fully knowing that I am not pleasing God by doing certain things, not loving, then that amounts to sin because it is not worthy of my relationship with God. It brings dishonor to the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. Then we ask the question, the positive one. How does one please the Holy Spirit? It's a difficult question. We have some expressions. Walk by Spirit. And people ask, how? How do I walk by Spirit? How do I live by the Spirit? These have remained purely in abstract terms. We have to now put a few words to it. This is what I feel. If you want to walk by Spirit, you are technically saying, I want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Where Holy Spirit leads me, I want to walk after Him. That is called living by the Spirit. So, how do I know that Holy Spirit is walking? We can say Holy Spirit will not take you to a place where you will be involved in immoral activity. Holy Spirit will not take you to a place where you will be in a continuous rage. Holy Spirit will not take you to a place where you will have a continual jealousy on certain person. If you are facing this one after another, you can be sure that you are not following the Holy Spirit. The other side is, if you are following the Holy Spirit, some kind of love you will have on your loved ones and also on other people. I believe when Jesus was walking by the streets and he was grieving, he said, oh, see this people without sheep. Sorry, without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. You know, he was grieving. Similarly, if I am led by the Holy Spirit when I see a lost person, a person who does not have a relationship with God, my heart should go out. Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. If someone is suffering of not having a job, or because of a relationship problem or something, I should have a compassion. That is an indication that I am walking by the Spirit. You know, if I am in a relationship, if I am always fighting, I'm guilty of that again. Then I'm not following by the Spirit. I'm actually feeding my flesh, always projecting myself, my agenda, not going for the idea of other people. Whereas if I am following the Holy Spirit, I seek peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. A peaceful person. That is the leading where Spirit leads. You know, you can just list things after things. Faithfulness. When Holy Spirit takes you to, when you are following Him, you give importance to integrity. In your relationship, integrity in your work, integrity in your call to be part of a particular local community, because you are following Holy Spirit. He takes you to love a person, show compassion to a person, to be faithful, to be loyal, because these are, according to Ephesians 5:22, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They emerge out of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is a result of one following after the Holy Spirit. So, how can I do it? I think the most important thing we need to have to follow Holy Spirit is to read the Scripture clearly, regularly. When we read Scripture, He guides us. This is what I was told a study. Most Americans, American in the sense all of us who are living here, because of our busyness of life, we don't study Scripture the way we need to study. Psalmist did not just tell something like this without a reason. The Word of God is a light unto our path and a lamp unto my feet. You know, Holy Spirit will guide us when we read the Scripture. We need to have a plan to study Scripture. And when we study, He will guide us. He will show us what all things God likes, what all things God doesn't like. And another important thing that I like is to be part of a small accountability community where we can tell, if I'm part of a small group with Gerald, I can say, you know, I'm in constant difficulty with rage, or I'm not able to forgive a person. I know if I keep the anger in me, then I can say, you know, I know that it is not part of the Spirit. It is my flesh. You know, I have my one of my accountability partner who is part of the church. I tell him, I'm not able to forgive a person for a long time. I know that's that kind of accountability relationship we need to have. By that, we will be able to walk by the Spirit. And sometimes He may give us an explanation, or He may take us to a scripture passage where we will be taught how to walk by the Spirit. But the benefits of pleasing the Holy Spirit or walking by the Holy Spirit is this: eternal life by now, you know, eternal life now and for the future. That's what we read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. It says, the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We are given eternal life. A lot of time people think eternal life is for future. I think eternal life begins now. That is what we read in the Gospel of John. If you make a relationship with God, your eternal life already begins. You know, sometimes people think about abundant life in terms of materials and money. Abundant life begins now, the minute we make our relationship with Christ. So when we start walking after the Holy Spirit, the abundant life or the eternal life we think of our future actually begins now. Whereas, you know, you compare now. If you feed your flesh with anger, with jealousy, unforgiveness, not just looking at our neighbors, not caring for other people, continually, you know, feeding our flesh, natural man, that leads us to destruction. Whereas when we diligently walk after the Holy Spirit, He leads us to eternal life, abundant life, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. And, you know, it builds the community. If you walk by the Spirit, you are actually building the community. All the fruit that we read in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, none of them can be enjoyed individually, yourself, but it will always be enjoyed in relation to another person. So if you are walking by the Spirit, you are building a community. You may be a peaceful person by the when you come in, we all start experiencing that fruit that is in you. Whereas when you are feeding your flesh, when you come together, you are distracting people from worshiping God. You are not actually facilitating a oneness, unity. See the comparison? Feeding of the flesh, feeding of the Spirit, sowing of the Spirit. And it strengthens our relationship with God. The more we walk after the Spirit, our relationship with God, we start enjoying the relationship with God. That is the primary purpose for which Jesus Christ came to this world. And he said, I came to this world to give life, life in abundance. Our abundant life starts when we start walking after the Spirit and we start sowing to the Holy Spirit who is indwelling in us. And our strength, relationship starts, our relationship with God, we start enjoying our relationship with God more and more and more. See the beauty of it. This is what I understand is, as free people, as Christians, we don't have any strings attached. Feeding to the flesh and feeding to the Spirit is purely our choice. God is not going to come and twist our hand and say, you cannot feed your flesh, you have to feed the Spirit. He never says. He gives us the option. It is up to you to feed your flesh and go into destruction. Or it is up to you to work on the Holy Spirit who is indwelling in you. Walk after Him. The former leads you to destruction, but the latter leads you to eternal life. What a powerful thing. So, one thing we need to take from here today is this. There is, you know, we should not define sin in terms of certain actions. Oh, he smoked from a South Indian background. If when we were small, if we smoked, that's all. Man, that's a big sin. And if someone took something from somewhere, that's a big sin. But as Christians, freed people, we should not define sin in terms of certain actions, but our attitude. My smoking, is it going to please God? God has given me a body. And this body can be used to praise Him, sing songs with Him. If I smoke and if it is continually, you know, making me sick, is it good? That should give you, a direction to define your sin instead of someone else legislating your action as right and wrong. In the same way, you know, you are in a place where surrounded by so many lost people, people who do not have a relationship with Christ. And you don't have, that you are supposed to go and share gospel with them. But every day, you are not doing it, fully knowing that it is not pleasing to the Lord. God has taken you to a particular place so that you will be shining out for our Lord Jesus Christ as a star in the sky. You will shine forth the light of Christ to these people. If you are not doing it, actually, you are displeasing God. That amounts to sin. See, the standard of our walk with God is much higher than what it is listed in Leviticus, what it is listed in Exodus. So, what is our takeaway? What is our message today? Very simple. Choose to please the Holy Spirit and stop feeding your flesh. Choose to please the Holy Spirit and stop feeding flesh, feeding to your flesh, because it's a deliberate choice. if you find it very difficult, you are not able to stop feeding the flesh, come and talk to one of us. We are all in the same boat. We can, by the help of God, we can help one another. I was unable to forgive certain things that happened in my past. That was affecting my relationship with everyone on several levels. I'm being helped by another brother in the congregation. That is why we are here, to help one another. You should be helped, I should be helped, and we should have a strong relationship with God. So when you go from here, you should be asking a question: how can I please the Holy Spirit? How can I please the Holy Spirit? How will I be able to walk after Him? What are some of the indications? What are some of the markers by which I will be able to follow Him? May God bless us. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Lord, you have made us free, either to love you or to love the world. But Lord, as people who are indwelt by your Spirit, Lord, we choose to love you. We pray that you will teach us to follow the Holy Spirit in our life, Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father, to stop feeding our flesh that leads us to destruction. But Lord, help us to walk after the Holy Spirit that leads us to eternal blessings. Lord, as we come together every week, and whenever we come together, we pray that we will add to the growing, add to the growth of our local body, instead of being a stumbling block. We thank you for your word, which is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Bless us, Lord. Even this evening, if there is anyone who is struggling with the flesh, in some sense, Heavenly Father, this flesh takes us to bondage again. It acts as if, Lord, it is an enemy within us. We pray that you, Lord, help us to get over it. You guide us, Lord, and help us to continue to experience you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.